Father, we just thank you so much for this word, and we ask that you would bless this word and to our hearing, that we would understand in our hearts. Let every word that comes from my mouth be yours and not mine, that we would glorify your name and all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so back in chapter 1, as part of an introduction to this chapter, this is when they're already on the opposite side of the Jordan River. He's giving a recap of what had happened to them from the time they left supposedly Egypt. But then if you notice, when he's talking about this, the starting point is not Egypt. It is on this side, or where we're at currently, on this side of the Red Sea, which would be where Aqaba is currently, and south of that. So they would be already crossing over. I often wondered, why is it that he doesn't start with Egypt? Well, the answer is pretty obvious, is that when they crossed over, the sea opened up for them. They crossed over on dry land, and this is a form of a mikvah or a baptism that the church would say, and they would have been reborn as a nation instead of a nation of slaves where they were in Egypt. So constantly we're battling this from this time all the way to the point where they're at now, is that they still have this slave mentality in the first generation. They wanted to go back to the land of Egypt many times over, and those people were squashed. Also in this chapter, we see that there was an opportunity. It doesn't say this in Exodus so much as it did right here in, where they started to get ready to go enter the land, where they said that Yahweh is the one that said for them to send spies or people to gather information about what the land is like. Did it have food to sustain them? Did it have grapevines? Did it have trees for fruit? Did it have people and how they were, you know, as a tour? In fact, the word we discovered the last time we covered this was that the word was tour. This is a different word that they used for the scouting out when he, in verse 22, the scouting out was not the scout. This word actually was, sorry, but my notes got lost in all this, so kind of making piecemeal back together again. But in 22, the word for send men out shall search us out. And the search is not tour. It's kafar. Kafar is to basically as a exploration. They're going to explore the types and the valleys and the rivers and the fruit of that, and also the crops of the field. They were going to do that. But for some reason, unknown to us, that they changed it from a scouting or exploration, that they made it a reconnaissance mission as you would for a military scouting party to see what the strongholds are. Are there tall people? Are they short people? What kind of weapons do they have? What kind of armament did they have? So this was, at first, it seemed like a very good idea of Moses and Yahweh. He said, okay, go ahead, let them do this. This is what they're to look for. And they brought back some of the proof, but it wasn't good enough for them. They wanted an easy way about it. If they would have just gone in when he said, go in, it would have done a couple things. One, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses would have entered the land. The tribes of Gad and Manasseh and Reuben would not have been on the east side of the Jordan. They would have been all in the land of the proper territory of Israel. So this is something that they could have had, but again, they didn't want to go in. So Yahweh said, okay, you're not going to see the land, but your children will see the land. They will inherit the things that you said, that the giants would eat the people and the children, and they would be prey to them, and they wouldn't be able to get in, and they had one excuse after another, and so therefore they lost out on this easy opportunity. They could have gone in and been known as the giant slayers. That would have been a fierce they would have struck the fear in the heart of those on the other side of the Jordan River. But yet, that's not what we want. We want it the hard way a lot of times. And we don't often want the way that God provides for us, the shepherding along the path that may be difficult, but is doable. And they could have went in and also inherit the land altogether in that first generation. But as it says later on in the New Testament writings, that generation was not suitable for the commandments of Yahweh. And so they had to have another generation, is what the second generation is, that Joshua commanded to go across the Jordan River. And they were told over and over again, don't fear, don't dread these people, don't lose heart. And yet that's exactly what they did. They wept and cried all that night. And Yahweh said, enough of that. They're going to get exactly what they asked for. They're going to die in the wilderness like they asked for. So, and before this, this is where we get the appointment of the elders, the rulers of the tens, the 50s and the hundreds, or the thousands, sorry, the thousands. And they, this is the leadership of Israel at this time. This is the same leadership beforehand. He's encapsulating all this stuff that happened before they're getting ready to enter the promised land. So he's telling, okay, this is the leadership. I can't bear this anymore. I need help with the governance of these people. He said that you are as the stars of heaven, and that this is a promise goes back to Genesis chapter 15, where God said that he told Abraham in a promise that he would give his descendants this land. But he wouldn't himself inherit it. He was looking for a city that wasn't there yet, but it was going to be there in a future time. So he was looking for this promised city. And so this is where his children are going to take possession of the land. But yet, as we see later on, that Moses pleads with God one last time, and said, I've seen what you've begun to do with these people. In fact, it doesn't mention it here, but they lost nobody. Up until the time they went to the battle of Ai on the other side of the Jordan, they went and conquered Jericho. They conquered these two kings. These were major power people there. You have a giant whose bed was 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide. That's big. It was made out of iron. So these guys lost no one. And that's, if we follow him, we'll do exactly the same thing. Nothing was going to affect us as long as we stay in his hands. There will be times where they will try to kill us. And until our time with him is finished, we will not suffer loss. We will continue on our ministry and we'll do the things he called us to do. So he got the people together and he appointed these leaders over them. Now, unfortunately, some of these were the same leaders in the Korah rebellion. These are the ones that came against Moses and Aaron. They wanted to take over the priesthood and take over Moses' leadership. It wasn't theirs to give. Yahweh appointed these men to do the service that he wanted them to do. And no one was going to take away the ones that he chose. And this is something we can be reassured about. Once he's chosen you, only you can defile yourself, and only you can count yourself out. He has always blessed us in everything that we've done. And we need to be assured that in the times, in this end times that we're in currently, that he's going to provide for us the things that we need. And if you notice that as they pass along certain parts, they said, sell us food, sell us water, and we'll eat of that and drink of that. He wasn't stopping the manna. He wasn't stopping the water, but he was giving them the ability to get things for themselves. Sometimes he wants us to provide for ourselves. Sometimes he wants us to learn a lesson, as with the rock who provided us the water, that it opened up and provided bountiful amounts of water, not only for them, not only for their children, but their cattle and their livestock. So the things that they complained about, he provided for them. And it would have been such a miracle that if they went in the way he said to begin with in first chapter here, that it would have been a totally different situation, and they would have all experienced what Yahweh would have for them to do. The giants would have just collapsed. We've heard stories and the Kings, and also in Judges, where the enemy just fought themselves. Like, I thought that was something else. They were so confused. They thought they were fighting themselves. They thought they were fighting an enemy, and they wanted to destroy each other. So here's the penalty for their rebellion. They weren't able to get in. In fact, the telling part of this is this. The only two people that Yahweh said was going to get in the land was Caleb and Joshua. Moses, Aaron, Miriam, that first generation wasn't going to go in. None of them were going to go in because of wickedness, rebellion, not believing God at his word, and only trusting in their own hands what they wanted to do. Anger got the best of Moses and Aaron. Aaron allowed him to strike the rock instead of speaking to it. As we're supposed to speak to Yeshua about the things that we need and the things that we want, our clothing, our water, our bread. He said, these things are assured to you. He takes care of us better than our fathers could take care of us. So in these battles that they went through, if you notice the two major battles there, not one woman, man, child survived it. The animals did. They were all rebellious. The children were already learning the ways of the parents. That in this, he was also merciful to them, because who was going to be raising those children? Who, the burden would have been so much for Israel to take care of that he even took care of that need. That, you know, they were innocent in this, and yet the children were already learning the ways of the parents. And that's what I learned out of that lesson there. So in chapter 2, they goes through this whole thing about where they went, and it said that you will not trespass against these people because these were inherited by this person. It was Lot, and it was Esau. Even in Esau's sin, he gave them possession. And Lot, even though he had a relationship with his daughters that, and had produced two sons through that, he gave them possession. So even in that, Yahweh knows where the boundaries are at. This is why he spent so much time in Leviticus and Numbers about the boundary markers. You don't move them. You don't know what they're for. I do. So therefore, you will not even get one footprint. This is what it says in 2:5. Not even the area of the size of a footprint. We would say not even one square inch is going to be yours. Not even 1 millimeter, and if you're a European, that will be yours. It will be theirs. And this is a permanent thing that he already ordained. He said you can buy food and water from them, but that's it. You don't embattle them. You don't infuriate them. You just go on and continue on the path that I'm leading you. So he goes on with that. So in this whole thing, he's talking about listening to what he says, doing what he says, and remembering the things he's already given them. He gave them food and water along the way. He provided meat, the quail that ran, that was enough for 30 days provision, and that they were so sick and tired of it, they didn't want it anymore. How many times did he have to do that for us? That he give us our favorite things. My favorite thing is cheesecake. So I can't imagine getting 30 days of cheesecake. I'd be as round as a cheesecake. So I can't imagine that. But he listened to what they said. And he says, not only will they get one day, a week, a month, they will get a whole month of quail. And it was so much that they were loathing it. Reminds me when I was young and my mom and dad, they smoked. And I wanted to try it out. He says, here, I want you to smoke this whole pack. I didn't want any more after that. I was so sick and tired of it. I didn't want any more of it. But that kind of hooked me into it. And it was later on that I said to Yahweh, I said, you want these? You're going to have to get me so sick and tired of this that I don't want it anymore. And so therefore, I got so sick and so tired. I said, okay, you want it that bad? You keep it. I don't want it. And from that point on, it didn't smoke another one since then. Well, we have to be faithful and just in his sight, just because he is providing for us and he cares for us and he wants us to have the best and not the worst. He says, now, and 2:13, he says, the Lord says, now get ready to cross over Zaire Canyon. And this time we traveled to Kadesh Barnea. There's been a lot of speculation about this Kadesh Barnea, so I looked it up. And Kadesh Barnea can mean wilderness. It can mean a place. It can actually mean an actual physical place of Kadesh Barnea. And they can't really, the experts can't really decide where it's at. We're in an area that could be considered that wilderness area even now as we speak. And that brought to my mind how many times that we find ourselves in an area where it's dry and forbidden, and forbidden as in it's nothing grows in it. Not you can't plant something and it will never grow. But how many times we find us in a dry place, and that's where he speaks to us the most. When Elijah fled Jezebel, he went to a place and he was such in a hurry to get to Mount Sinai. He wanted to get there to see God, and he had to be rescued by the angels three different times to get him enough energy to make the trip. And he made the trip, and then he went to the cave and he heard the voice of God. It was a still small voice, but he had to get to the wilderness to hear it. There was so much noise and confusion in his head that he thought for sure that he was the only one left. And yet Yahweh said, I have kept 5,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now you go and do this. And how many times have we done exactly what he says? We said, just kill us, get it over with. We're done. When nobody else cares, we've all listened to this before, where nobody wants to hear any of the words that we say. That we're all done. We're dried up. There's nothing left. We're as a withered branch. And yet he says, go and do this. Did he hear what we said? Yes. Did he answer us? No. He says, go and do what I say. Feed my sheep. If we're not going to feed his sheep, then what good are we? What kind of shepherds would we be? And even the least of us are shepherds, because we know something about the Torah. We know something about the New Testament. He says, to feed my sheep. And this is where he's at today. He's wanting us to feed his sheep. He wants us to go through these dry places and find his sheep and feed them, give them the word of God, because right now, a lot of places around the world are in a famine of real food and real water, but yet the most famine of all, they're the famine of his word. And we need to really pay attention to what he says to us, even to this very day. And yet the first defeat that we see in Deuteronomy 26, about the king of Shion, he first sent a message of peace. Moses did. They wanted to have peace. They wanted just to get to do the same things they did before, to buy the food, buy the water, and provide for the people of Israel. He would have nothing to do with it. And so Yahweh said, okay, this is it. He hardened his heart, and they went to war, and they lost. They went up against Israel, and he was going up the wrong tree on that one. He went against the children of God. And when somebody comes against us, we don't have to worry about what we're going to say, what we're going to do. He is there for us, and he will get us through that. If we're faithful and we're following him in everything that he says, he will take care of his own children. It may not look like it to us, but there's always an end game that he has. And he said that he will take care of it. So, and not one of those children of Israel died in this conflict, not even with King Og, who was the giant. Not one person died. In fact, that those two battles, then he went into Jericho after Moses' death, not one person died. And he said, this is what you can expect if you will do what I say. If you obey my commandments and my ordinances, I will make sure that none of you die. They will die, but you will not die. You will depossess them and you will inherit their land. So if you notice here, they killed all the men, women, and children and took their livestock, took their gold and their silver. At one point I was reading, it said they put a ban on it. Now, every place I saw before about a ban, it was about the Battle of Jericho. that they put a ban on everything. They weren't even supposed to take 1 ounce of gold out of there. It was all Yahweh's, all of it. The men, the women, the children, the animals, everything that was dead, that was his. And he took care of that. But yet Achan, he decided, what's this? This is a nice fabric. Oh yeah, I like that. Okay, I'll take that for me. And I'll take this wedge of gold for me. And I'll take this silver and put it in my tent. Nobody's going to know. What difference does it make? It's only me anyways, and his family. And they all died. Because when they went against Ai, which is a very small town, they went in with the full heart that they were going to win like they did in Jericho. Unknown to them, Achan's sin. And they paid the price for Achan's sin. Sin is not personal. It's community. Sin affects everybody. It's not just for me, or it's not my personal sin, because it affects the entire body. If Yeshua said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better for you to enter the kingdom lame than it is for you to be cast into destruction for the sake of your hand. If your right, if your eye offends you, pluck it out, because it's better for you going blind than it is for you to burn in the fires of hell. So he wants us to be faithful to him and not have an evil eye against what he says is not yours. Don't take what your neighbor has and say, oh, that's mine too. I can take that. It's on the property line. He's not going to notice this little bit of property I take from him to plant my tree. Well, he notices. Yahweh knows. And he will avenge for that. And you will have a very hard life until you make amends with your neighbor. So in this case here, when Israel destroyed these two kings, and they took possession of it. Like I said before in chapter 1, if they would have just went in as he commanded, without even asking, can they go look? Just believing that he said this, it would have been turned out totally. They wouldn't have to fight these two kings yet, but later on they may have, but it wouldn't be then before they crossed over to Jordan, because they would have already been in. 40 years would have been, they would have already taken over the land. 40 years they would have already put houses up and harvested and did things according to his way. But their hearts were not in that. They were in Egypt. And how many times have our hearts said, oh, but it was so much better back there. It was so much better back at whatever place we came from than it is difficult here. No, we need to appreciate what God has done. Rejoice in the things that he's given us and be grateful for all these things.